I would ask you to stand in reverence for God's holy word. If it is difficult to stand, please just put your hand over your heart. In the gospel according to St. Matthew, the 16th chapter, beginning with the 24th verse, the word of the most holy God says this. Then Jesus told his disciples, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life? For the Son of Man is come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay everyone for what has been done. Truly I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Up until this point in Matthew's gospel, he has relayed to us all the great and wonderful things the disciples have seen Jesus do. They have seen Jesus heal every manner of sickness so that they know that Jesus is the Lord of healing. They've seen him heal leprosy. They've seen him heal the blind. They've seen the lame walk. They have seen all of these things. And then the pièce de résistance. They have even seen the dead raised. Now, add on to that. They have seen two miracles dealing with the multiplication. They have seen him take a few fish and a few loaves and twice feed thousands. Once more than 5,000, once more than 4,000. And they've seen it happen. Jesus taking just a little bit and multiplying it for everyone. They have heard him teach. They have heard the amazing things that he's been saying that are so different from every teacher they've ever heard before. And the crowds just keep coming and coming and coming. Some to be healed, some to hear. Everybody wondering what's going on. And now Jesus says, "We're going to Jerusalem." And the boys think, "Hot dog, this is it. This is it." We know, right before this, it's Peter says, "You are the Messiah, the Son of God." They are convinced. They're now going to Jerusalem. They're starting that trek, and they're all excited. "Boys, we have hitched our wagon to the right star. It's coming now. This that we have heard about all our lives, this is our fathers and our grandfathers and our great-grandfathers all talked about. The Messiah is here, and Israel is going to be number one." And then Jesus pivots and says, "If you want to be my disciple..." It doesn't say, "Take leadership classes." He doesn't say, you know, "Dress up in the finest garb because you're going to be walking down the street," just all that. He says, "If you're going to follow me, you need to deny yourself, take up a cross, and follow me." Now, the disciples, being who they were, men of great thinking, went, "Huh?" Because that's exactly what we would have done. How many times did you ever think that, you know, when you got saved, everything's supposed to be all right? How many times have I heard somebody say, "I don't understand why bad things are happening to me. I'm trying to live a good life. I don't understand why there's bad things in the world. I don't understand why really good people get cancer. I do not understand why bad things happen to little kids. I do not understand why I studied and studied and studied and still flunked that test. If you do the right stuff and have your wagon hitched to the right star, isn't everything supposed to be all right? Lord, if you're going to put that to a vote, I vote yes. However, that's not what Jesus said, was it? He said, if you want to be my follower, you have to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Now, they were all willing to follow on the road to victory, on the road to kicking out the Romans, on the road to overturning the religious system, on the road to fame and fortune. But this following, carrying a cross. But you see, Jesus never, ever, ever wanted to paint a false picture. Jesus was the most real person you'll ever meet, and he wanted them to know what they were getting into. Because, folks, being a disciple isn't easy. It's extraordinarily simple, but it's not easy. Excuse me, I need to take a drink. I hate having a cold. Now, if I don't swallow that and choke to death, we'll be fine. Let's start with the first part of this, denying self. I really think denying self is one of the hardest things we ever do. When you get up in the morning, what's one of the first things you think? Just give me a couple of things that you think. First thing when you get up.
Coffee,
yeah. Yeah. Okay, after you've had your coffee and can think, what do you think?
Snow.
You're not supposed to use four-letter words in the church.
What am I going to
wear? What am I going to eat for breakfast? What all have I got to do today? Did you notice anything in there that just keeps coming up?
I.
Me. It's just as normal as breathing, isn't it? Because everything, you get mad at other people who think that the world revolves around them. Don't you get perturbed by those people? You know, those people. But how different are we really? We see everything from our perspective. We judge. Don't take that word where I'm not trying to go with it, but we judge everything based on our principles, on our thoughts, on our feelings. Don't we? And the first thing Jesus says is deny self. And I looked it up. And the word that is used in the original text in the Greek is not just, you know, deny yourself. It is deny yourself. It's very emphatic. It is set yourself aside. And folks, that's one of the most difficult things to do in the world. Because we're so used to, I think, I want, I need. And when it comes to other people, it's not usually, the first thing is not, I want to help you. It's you should. For me. You should for me. You should for others. You should, but I want, I need, I think. It's extraordinarily hard to set self aside. But the way you get around that is asking yourself, who do you belong to? Now, if you spend your time thinking, I want, I need, me, I, who do you belong to? Or as Gary used to say, who's on the throne? Yeah, but not if you're me-ing and I-ing.
I missed that part.
But you're right when it comes to, that's what we need to figure out. We, on Ash Wednesday, we came, put a sign of the cross on our foreheads to mark not just our repentance of sin. But why do we repent? Because we belong to somebody else. Not like a slave belongs. Like a child belongs. Like a beloved child belongs. When I was a kid, the first thing, you know, when you were being introduced to someone, I assume people still do that. The first thing they wanted to know was, who's your mama and who's your daddy? Right? You're being introduced to another adult and you're a little kid and they, you know, who's your mother? Who's your father? Who do you belong to? And where I came from, up in the mountains, it's which family do you belong to? Which family? We need to remember that we are the children of God. We belong to the Lord God Most High. We do not get to call the shots because we are children. What happens in the household when the kids run it? Chaos. What happens when loving parents run the household? Better than just order. Order is good, but better than just order. Then everybody gets to become all they can be. So one of the ways that we deny self is to remember that we do not belong to ourselves. If you have accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, remember He is Lord. Christianity is not a club membership that you go in and out of. It's an adoption. Now, one of the first ways that you start self-denial is taking up your cross. Last week we talked about burdens, right? My yoke is easy and my burden is light. And, oh dear, we're going to try it. Who remembers the criteria for accepting a burden? Number one is, whose burden is it? Is it really my burden? Or is that God's burden? Where we get into trouble with taking up a cross is sometimes we try to take up Jesus' cross and He don't need you to do that. He's already done it. Thank you very much. So taking up your cross doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, you're supposed to live in poverty. It doesn't necessarily mean that you are supposed to spend your life in misery. We tend to associate cross bearing with pain and suffering. And it can involve pain and suffering, but folks, you're not going to get through this life without that anyway. The cross was Jesus's mission. It was his mission in life. So what is your mission? What is the most important thing in your life? What gets you up in the morning that you're excited about, you know? You know, like, thank God it's morning instead of, oh God, it's morning. What are you willing to endure some hardship to get? What are you willing to sacrifice to accomplish? What is your mission? Because, folks, you have one. Jesus' mission was not just to die on that cross. It was the symbol of the salvation of humanity. That was his mission, to save all of humankind. That was his mission, to display God's love toward us. That was his mission. What's your mission? You have one. If you do not know what it is, then right after Easter, on Wednesday night, we're going to do an entire set of things to help people discover what their mission in life is. And if you don't know, you need to be there. Because God has equipped you uniquely for something only you can do on this planet. Only you. If it wasn't true, you wouldn't be here. What is your mission? He's saying, take up that mission. Well, you can't do it if you don't know what it is. But some of us know what our mission is. I know what my mission is. I have known for decades what my mission is. It is my mission in life to help God's people see who they are in the fullness of his grace and to help them become the best they can be. That is my God-given mission. What's yours? After you have set yourself aside and realized who you belong to, after you have that mission and know what you're going to do, and believe me, folks, it will get you up in the morning with some energy. No matter what else happens, that will help you get through your day to know why you're here and follow him. The best part about this whole discipleship thing is we're not out there on our own trying to find the end of the trail. We're following Jesus. He knows where you're going. He knows how to get there. He knows how to help you avoid obstacles and know how to climb over some other obstacles. He is our leader. At the conference, that convocation, we had this wonderful speaker, Kay Wiseman. She was great. And she got all these volunteers out of the audience and got them to play Follow the Leader. It was hysterically funny. Do y'all remember Follow the Leader? What do you do when you're playing Follow the Leader? You do what they do. You do what the leader does. Jesus said, I only do what my Father tells me to do. We only do what Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, tells us to do. That is so freeing. He's not saying check your brain at the door. He's not saying don't think. He is saying you can trust me. Just follow where I take you. Follow where I take you. Because God is looking for people that have no limits. Sometimes, you know, we go, God, this far and no farther. Yeah, Lord, we'll do this, but that's as far as we go. Lord, we will follow you till we decide to follow something else. Lord, we'll stick with you until the road gets hard. He is looking for people who will voluntarily cooperate with him and allow him to do what he wants to do in them and through them. I heard this first as a child from Dwight L. Moody. The world has yet to see what God can do with and for and through and in and by the man who is fully and wholly consecrated to him. I will try my utmost to be that man. The world has yet to see what can be done in and for and through and by someone who's totally sold out to Jesus without limits. I'd like to be that person. But I have to deny self, take up my cross, and follow. You have to deny self, take up your cross, and follow. That is the question before you this day. Do you want a mediocre Christian life? Was your goal in becoming a Christian just to not go to hell? I mean, not that that's not a good reason, but let's be honest. How are we living? Are we living totally sold out for Jesus? Or do we just want to skate by? Do we want to do what we want to do and have our weekly nod at God? Be sold out. It is an adventure worth living. It is a life full of meaning. It is wonderful. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.